This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Māori to our Kiribati listeners, and of course, welcome to everyone to Neesian Footy, the number one spot for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is my usual Cook Island koi, Tinirao Arona. T, hey, great to have you back. I know you've been busy, but it's always good to see you on Friday, and hopefully not too long.
Kia ora, mate.
Back on the Monday show.
Yes, it's good to be back. I was over in Aotearoa at the start of this week.
Oh, Turbo.
The land of the long white cloud. It was a good visit. Went and caught up with the Warriors players. Had dinner with a couple of the boys, Roger Toivasa-Sheck and Dylan Watine Zalesniak.
Name drop.
They took me to the most expensive restaurant, knowing that it was on me. So thanks, boys.
You had to pay.
The company.
Oh, the company paid. Yes, nice, nice.
But yeah, looking forward to the show. Plenty to dive into. We will catch up with our NRLW expert, Sala Tonga Tuki, to cover all things rugby league. And then we will also catch up with Totai Kefu to speak all things rugby union. But let's start with our footy news.
Hi, I'm Alicia Lefofago-Celia from the Australian Women's Sevens team, and you're listening to Neesian Footy.
Yes, our footy news here. We kick off, as always, with rugby league, wrapping up last night's game and looking forward to the weekend team rugby league.
Yeah, I'll kick us off. Last night, we seen the Rabbitohs play the Storm, but first thing I want to mention is give a shout-out to Cook Island international and Tongan Davey Moali. He played his 50th NRL game last night for the South Sydney Rabbitohs. A good friend of mine. He was like my son in the Cook Island international team during the World Cup. And yeah, it's good to see. At only the age of 21.
He's already racked up 50.
I made my NRL debut when I was 21.
Wow, that's impressive. And mate, some of the highlights on socials of his shoulders just going through the attackers. Oh man, I'd hate to be running that
baby
guy.
Davey. He's a baby big boy. Davey. Baby Davey. But yes, holding their position at the top of the NRL ladder, the Storm beat the Rabbitohs in Sydney last night, 28-16. Now, the Storm still missing Xavier Coates, Ali Katoa, and Joe Chan. But in that first half, they were clinical, scoring 4-1 in the opening 40 minutes. So they led 22-4 at the break. Then the second half, you know, there were plenty drop balls, few boys complacent. Coach Craig Bellamy said after the game, he thought the players started to look for shortcuts, but he did mention big Samoan Kiwi Nelson Asofa-Solomona had a great game. He pushed out 65-ish minutes in the back row, and Asofa-Solomona scored the Storm's second try. Mate, Harry Grant, Melbourne Storm hooker, just gives the ball to him close to the line, and then he breaks four defenders to score a try.
Alec McDonald, who's on the field for Karma Kamitha, hits it up, gets to within a few. Here comes Nelson. He gets over. He powers through on the right edge, Luke Lewis. You ask, you receive, courtesy of Nelson Asofa-Solomona.
Too big, too strong, big Nils. He is a mammoth of a man, but interesting comments what you said there about Craig Bellamy. He's saying our players look for shortcuts. They're at the top of the table. He's got some standards, doesn't he, that guy, as a coach, and it just rifles through. Do you think the loss last week is a good thing for Melbourne Storm just to keep them in check and put them in even better stead with their run home to the finals?
Well, the test will be this or next Thursday when they take on the Penrith Panthers, and the winner out of that game will most likely finish as minor premiers. I know they are ahead on for and against, but they'll want to get things right leading into this game. That, you know, off the back of last week's loss, and then, you know, that second half, you know, you put in a performance like that against the Panthers, they'll make you pay for it. So a good big game to look forward to next Thursday when the Storm take on the Panthers, but they get the job done over the South Sydney Rabbitohs last night. A couple of other games I wanted to mention. Over the weekend, we will see 8th place Dragons taking on your Bulldog, Sammy.
Up the Doggies.
Sitting at fifth. A very crucial game for both teams. You know, it's tight in the NRL ladder. With these teams, they lose, they drop a couple players, a couple positions on the NRL ladder. If they win, they jump. So Dragons off the back of a huge win, beating the Storm last week, and the Bulldogs beating the Raiders. This will be one to look forward to.
At Cogger Oval, isn't it? It's already sold out.
Yep.
So the atmosphere is going to be electric at the Dragons' home ground.
Always seems like the Bulldogs fans are having a huge party after they win, so it'll be interesting to see.
I reckon the Bulldogs fans match like the Tongan style of energy. You know, when the red flags and the sea of red.
Just passionate, mate.
Passionate
very,
fans.
Very, very passionate. So, really looking forward to see who gets the result and has the party after the game in this game. And another game, we see the Raiders at 10th place. They sit on 24 points. And the Seagulls at 7th, sitting at 27 points on the ladder. So they'll be playing each other. And I've had a thought about this, like, what's the cutoff points? Like, what's safe to make the top eight with only 5 games to go? We see the Seagulls here, 7th at 27. I have a feeling that 32 points get you in the top eight. Get you in. So if you're the Raiders sitting at 10th, 5 games to go, you're looking like you'll have to win 4 out of the 5 to creep into that 8.
Rugby league, is it 2 points?
2 points a win, yep.
Oh,
one
okay.
Point a draw. And in other news across the ground, so Tavita Pangai Jr. for the Dolphins, he has made his decision, or it's reported that he's made a decision to quit the NRL again and make his way over to Super League to join the Catalan Dragons. And Sammy, speaking of my trip to New Zealand, Warriors great, Sean Johnson, one of the best to have ever donned the Warriors jersey. He announces his retirement. Funny thing is that he announced his retirement to the playing group the morning of our presentation, or my presentation for the RLPA. And he did ask a question around, you know, that retirement space. And it wasn't until that night when the news broke, and I'm like, now that question makes sense, Shawnee. And he just said, and I said, congratulations. And then, yeah, he just said, like laughing emojis. And he said, no, thanks.
So you're doing the presentation just around all the bits and pieces around contracting and all the stuff that players need to know representing them. And he's asked a question around, hey, retirement. And it didn't click? You just thought it was just a, what, did
nah,
you think it was odd at the time or no?
Yeah, I just thought it was like, in the back of his mind, you know, we are getting older. I think he's about 33 years old. And I go, maybe he's just starting to think about his transition, not knowing that he mentioned it to the squad and the coaching staff that morning. So, you know, he's been a great servant of our game. He's broke many, many ankles.
Absolutely, man. He's inspired that many players coming through.
Kids are saying, you know, that practice in the Sean Johnson step. So he will be missed. And I'm looking forward to seeing the Warriors and himself, you know, finish this year strong. So if you are playing the Warriors in the next 5 weeks, look out, because I think they've got a reason to play now. So Jake Tungor for the Parramatta Eels has reportedly signed a 2-year extension with the Eels. And speaking of the Eels, it's reported that Tongan Samoa may be an assistant coach for the Eels underneath Jason Rolls next year.
Samoa, did you play with Samoa at the Roosters?
He was teammate, Tongan. He's a representative of Mate Matonga, also won a premiership at the Sydney Roosters. That year he also represented the Kiwis, and he helped in coaching at the Catalans as well. So
has he been a player coach at the Catalans, or has he just been coaching there at the moment? Like, I'm just thinking of his playing experience.
Coaching. So he was assistant coach at the Catalans over the last couple of years, I think it was. But I just love seeing, you know, Pacifica representation in this coaching space. I don't think we have enough of it.
We don't have enough.
And I love that, as someone like Samoa is taking that step, leading the way, leading the pathway, and it's like what we always say, you can't see or you can't be what you can't see.
It's a big one, T, because as you said, when you represent, the playing population represents 50%, probably even more so when it comes to the, the female game as well, it just makes sense that you have someone within your coaching ranks that is of Pacifica heritage, just for that connection, understanding, and the head coaches will learn a thing or two from, you know, the rapport that they, like someone like Samwell could bring, especially out in Parramatta where there's a heavy, heavy Pacifica presence. So I love that appointment. And when we get to rugby union news, I've got something for you around the Parramatta Eels coaching stuff. Reportedly, everything's reportedly, allegedly, but it's probably going to come to fruition.
Well, remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. But Sammy, before we get to rugby union, I just remembered, and she will probably kick me up the butt if I don't mention it. And you should have mentioned it on Monday. No, my mother.
Oh.
It is Cook Island Language Week.
Oh, it is too. What have you got for me? Spit something out for me.
Kia ora, toko inoa, tēnā rau aruna. And that's it. Hello.
Hello, my name is
Tēnā rau aruna. There you go.
Something
you should have remembered. Did you remember that on Monday? Did you forget on Monday?
No, I was waiting for you to come back. Well, we can't.
We'll blame Seth, mate.
Can't have a Tongan, Samoan, Niuean trying to talk, you know, Cook Island.
Well, to all my Cook Island brothers and sisters out there, happy Cook Island Language Week. And let's head over to Rugby Union News.
Bonjour, je m'appelle John Olivier. Vous écoutez Tunisian Footy.
And now in English.
Hi, my name is John Olivier. And you're listening to Tunisian Footy.
Oh, good.
My man. We are going to talk Rugby Union. First up, the Rugby Championships kick off this weekend. We see the Wallabies take on the Springboks and New Zealand take on Argentina. The Wallabies play the Springboks in Brisbane. It's going to be a massive game for them. If there's any hope for the Wallabies, and we'll get the inside word from the great man, Big Kefu, to give us a bit of an insight. He's donned the jersey. He's up there. But 11 of the last 12 matches against the Springboks in Brisbane, the Wallabies have won.
11 of the last in Brisbane.
In Brisbane. 11 of the last 12 matches in Brisbane, the Wallabies have won.
So in our knockout tipping comp, you're going to go Wallabies?
Ooh, probably not.
Well, don't share that stat then.
No, well, I'm just saying, I've got a... My heart is still with the Wallabies.
Don't share the stat
My heart is still with them. Hopefully they do well. And again, plenty of Pacifica presence in the Wallabies team. And if they are to go the distance and go the 80 and really shake the cage of the Springboks, Rob Valentini, Hunter Paisami, Lukan Salakai-Lotto, Alan Ala-Alatoa, they are the four big guns that really need to stand up. Kotobeti's been overlooked for this time around, but it's only because he's only just come into camp. I think they'll get his match fitness up at training. You know, his repeat speed efforts. He's been playing in Japan over with the Saitama Panasonic Wild Knights. So hopefully we'll see him playing very soon because his work ethic off the wing is outstanding and almost unmatched. Hopefully he'll be in the fold very soon. We also see Australian Tim Sampson. He has signed on with the Fijian Drua as their attack coach. Tim Sampson, he's had plenty of experience as a coach. Western Force 2018 to 2022 head coach. Then he moved to the Rebels as their assistant coach. And with the Melbourne Rebels folding, he now has an opportunity at the Fijian Drua. And so as an attack coach, if you're getting excited about somewhere or if there's something in writing that you're going to go be head of the attack coach, it has to be for Fijians. You'd be up for that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to change too much.
Exactly.
Just let the boys play. When it comes to the Fijian team, just let them play. Let the ball sing. Let them do their offloads. But then trying to find a way where you can maintain it. And they do it at the right time.
Yeah, it's that structured chaos, that balance, isn't it? Getting that balance right. And I'm actually really looking forward to someone like Tim Sampson, who's been in the Australian system for a long time as a coach, heading over to the Pacific Islands, to Fiji, and just seeing a whole different culture and a whole different style of footy. The resources, the grounds that they train on, it is nothing like he's ever been on before. Like the grounds over in Nandi there, it is lumpy. It is hard as a rock. you know, there's, and it floods sometimes, and then it becomes really muddy. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he adapts to all the conditions that come with the Fijian Drua team. But I'm sure, as I said, he's very excited about looking after their attack. We also have some big news, and I said this to you, T, in your rugby league chat. Parramatta Eels. It's been reported that Scott Wisemantle, former assistant coach for the Wallabies, Japan, England, and Samoa, the famous win against the Wallabies back in 2011, Scott Wisemantle was their assistant coach. He was the head coach of Panini Pacifica last year, the women's team, the equivalent of Moana Pacifica. He was the head coach for them. He has gone to the Parramatta Eels.
Joining Sammy Moa
and Jason Rolls.
So a rugby union background, or?
He's got a rugby league playing background, but the last 20-something years, he has been in rugby union. I had him as a junior coming through. One of the smartest coaches I've ever come across around his detail, his preparation, and I think he's going to add a lot of value. I know he's a rugby union head, like he's been there, but I think he's going to add a lot of value to the Parra Eels if he is going there.
I wonder what his relationship is with head coach or new head coach Jason Rolls.
I've got the answer for you, mate. Jason Rolls was part of the England staff back in 2019.
Yep,
the World Cup Union, yep. And where Scott Wisemantle was the assistant for Eddie Jones. So that's where the connection must have started from there. But I think it's a great appointment because, one, he's got great rapport with players. He understands Pacific Islanders too. Like, I absolutely love that bloke. I learned so much from him. He was able to come in with an aura that can hit you between the eyeballs with feedback, but also put his arm around you and making sure that you have the confidence to keep going again. So watch this space. I think if he's going to be there, Parramatta Eels are going to break the drought for their premiership win in the next 2 years.
I do hope so, because I've got a lot of Parramatta Eel fan friends, or friends that are fans, and yeah, they've just had a tough couple years. I do hope they are successful for my mates.
Yeah, same. As I said, it's out west there. You want that rivalry to be big between Parramatta and Penrith. I think that will go off out there. And we'll bring this up with Todd Aikifu as well. Some big news coming out of Samoa regarding the Manu Samoa rugby team. It's reported they have pulled out of their Northern Hemisphere tour that is held at the end of every year to avoid bankruptcy. So that's huge news for Manu Samoa. They're preparing for the upcoming Pacific Nations Cup. They have Fiji first up on the 23rd of this month. I hope that news isn't true and their Northern Hemisphere tour goes ahead and it doesn't impact their preparations leading into their upcoming Pacific Nations Cup. And they have been on fire at the moment. And T, that's all we have for rugby union news until the Pacific Nations really ramps up, the rugby championships ramp up. That's all I have for you.
Mate, plenty there, but plenty also to look forward to. Let's go straight over to Salatonga Tuki to talk all things NRLW.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tonga Tuki!
With Salatonga Tuki.
Sorry to disappoint. Do we have that music where it goes?
Yeah, look, to all our listeners, we do apologise. We've just received a email from Sala. There's been a change in the Tigers schedule. A meeting has been pushed forward, and it's also her travel day today. So we're going to have another crack at the semi, but
yeah, we're all over
lucky
it.
Thing is, we do like watching NRLW. I actually really enjoy watching the women play. I think it's a raw, before the men's game became so structured and so clinical, they played with a bit more freedom. You know, it was a more natural game, and I feel like that's where the NRLW game is at the moment. There's more scope to playing outside of
the usual structures that all teams are playing.
So that's why I enjoy watching. And we're going to give a bit of a rundown for just before, round three in the NRLW.
Just before we get into it, Sala. All right, I'm just going to
address
the elephant in the room.
Yes.
Is it a coincidence off the back of two losses and is it a bit hard to front the music with you? Because I reckon you'd be hitting her with some tough questions. Just what's going on there? What are you doing here? What's happening?
Is she waiting for a win
before she jumps
back on the show? Because she was pretty confident leading into the season, and they're 0-2 right now.
I've been in that position where it's like fool's gold that preseason, where you're just fitter, faster, stronger. We're going to be world beaters, and you just get that humble pie. Oh, not humble pie, still effort, and that's all there. It's like that reality check of like, what are we missing at the moment that's not making it work? And hopefully they can turn it around.
Every team believes that they can win the comp during preseason.
Yes, that's a
and it's not
no
until a
statement.
Few games. No, not until a few games into the season you get a reality check on whether you're actually a chance of winning that premiership or you've got a bit of work to do. And yeah, I think the Tigers have a little bit of work to do.
We feel your pain, Sulla. It's all good. Can't wait to chat off the back of a win this week.
Well, let's go into a couple of games that we're looking forward to watching. I think this Canberra versus Cronulla Sharks game is going to be a good one. Canberra, last week, just losing to Newcastle Knights. There was a penalty try at the end of the game where the Knights snatched the win and beat the Raiders 26-20. But I do love a few of their players, Samai Badolfa and Zahara Temara, and also who we've had on the show.
Yeah, Mona Lisa Soliola.
So three
playing in the back row.
Pacific players that will do some damage. But in the Cronulla Sharks, Tiana Penatani.
Moved to fullback.
At the fullback spot.
I actually really like that move for her. I think she's a weapon with ball in hand. I think she's got a strong work ethic because, again, learning from yourself and watching more fullbacks now in rugby league, how fit you need to be at the back there, covering a lot of meters, and your kick returns, you know, especially under that high ball. That return run, is that what you call it? You know, is so pivotal to get your forwards on the front foot. I think that's a great move for the Sharkies, just seeing her at the back there. Hope she gets some nice, clean ball early with a lot more space.
What we will see is that first kick return where they kick long, Tiana has to catch it, and usually as a middle, you turn around, you scream, get the meters, get the meters. So picture Dylan Edwards, as soon as he gets the ball, he's sprinting, trying to gain as many meters as possible to get towards the other end. Tiana, that's my advice. As soon as you get the ball, you just sprint and try and gain as many meters for your team. But, geez, what a great game to look forward to. Cronulla Sharks 2-0, beating Parramatta Eels last week 18-16. I thought, you know, Parramatta Eels had a huge round one game against the Broncos, but Cronulla getting the job done last week, and they're going to face a tough Canberra Raiders team.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And one girl I'm actually looking forward to is Manalita Takapautolo. She is from Tonga, and she made her debut last week against the Parramatta Eels. Only young, 19 years of age. She is an amazing talent. I've watched her play rugby sevens, and another one's gone. But, she was outstanding in her city country game last year, receiving the player of the match, and she gets another opportunity off the bench for the Sharkies. So, look, can the Sharkies go 3-0? Tiana just said if they can get through these next couple of games with some wins, they're going to put themselves in, you know, in the box seat.
Well, I did mention how they played Parramatta Eels last week, and what I do want to mention is Elsie Albert coming these first two games, mate. She has absolutely killed it against the Broncos. Ran amok. I remember her making that break, running over the fullback, and then last week against the Cronulla Sharks also.
Yeah, she was outstanding. Nice, and coming there off the back of some, you know, injury-riddled season last year with her calf, now she's back, strong, fit, ready to go. So, yep, I'm sure that they'll be looking for her this weekend to set that platform.
I think another huge game, Battle of Queensland, Brisbane Broncos taking on the Gold Coast Titans. The Titans tipped to be one of the favourites this season, this NRLW season. And the Broncos, usually they have a strong team leading into the seasons, but they're 0-2 at the moment. Had a tough start to their NRLW season.
Well, I wonder if Stacey Wacker, she's just finished with the Black Ferns winning a gold medal at the Olympics. She's wasted no time celebrating. Now she jumps on the wing for the Brisbane Broncos. I wonder if that's going to have an impact. You know, just something new, a new energy, a new voice. that comes into the team that's come from a winning environment to the Bronx to be able to maybe spark their season and get it on the get a win on the board.
It's crazy that when you go through these names, a few names that pop up and you're like, damn, we actually got these players on Nijin Footy. I'm looking at, mate, one of the best NRLW players at this time, Avania Politi. Can't believe she was on our show, but she has been absolutely killing it for the Titans and also had a great series for the Queensland Women's State of Origin. Now, I reckon Stacey Walker, coming from rugby union, would start to look at Ivania and go, okay, what is she doing? How has she made that transition from rugby sevens and now being one of the greatest players in NRLW?
I wonder how she's going to go too, being on the wing for Stacey, defending a little bit different. You know, Ivania coming out the back, I think that's been one of her strengths, is knowing how to sweep around and you know, either getting that pass away on the edge or she's taking the space and running herself. I wonder if she's going to pick out Waka there just to see if she understands her defensive roles in league and if she makes that right choice or not to either jam or hold. So I'll be looking forward to that battle on the field with the Titans and the Broncos.
Another great battle to look forward to is Male Hufanga up against Niall Williams-Guffrey. Them two going at it.
That is a great matchup.
That is one that I'm looking forward to watching.
And Mele looks fit too. It's great to see that the last 3 years she's been in the NRLW, how much her shape has changed in the way of, like, she looks amazing, fit, ready to go. And you can just see that she's getting more minutes under her belt. And I feel like she's having more of an impact throughout the whole game rather than just little moments that we saw. So, yeah, love that battle.
And looking at these two team lists, plenty of Queensland players. You've got Shannon Muttor, Tasman Rapana from both ends, Titans and Broncos. Wonder what that would feel like, winning an Origin series and then going up against each other in the NRLW competition. So two big women about to go at it. Shannon Muttor versus Tasman Rapana. Looking forward to watching that battle as well.
Can we give ourselves a high five? Like, are we able to do that? Like, I thought our NRLW wrap-up was...
better than our NRL?
Yeah, I think it was, bro. Yeah, I think it was. That outstanding work, T. Hopefully we have Salah back on next week because I think they've got the home game, but don't quote me on that, but I think we'll be right to have her on for next week.
And once again, we apologise to all our listeners. I was looking forward to hearing from Salah. You know, these things happen in rugby league, and fortunately, we know how to adapt and, you know, get the job done. So we were looking forward to hearing from Salah next week on Nijin Footy Fridays.
Fridays. All right, let's get over to...
to Culture Shock.
Culture Shock.
Yes, Culture Shock. Just to break up some of the footy chat, we go island hopping, learn a little bit about our brothers and sisters on our tiny islands. Last week, I took you to Fiji. Can't remember what we spoke about, but I'm sure it was outstanding. But this week, we are going to Niue.
Memory of a goldfish, you mate. But yes, we're off to Niue. Nice, short and sharp. I just thought this was very, very interesting. Culture Shock, let's go. So, in 2003, Niue became the world's first Wi-Fi nation.
Sorry?
Wi-Fi nation. Do you know what that means, Sammy?
Something to do with the internet, surely.
Well, in an effort to boost tourism and connect the community, Niue offered free wireless internet access across the entire island.
Across the 20 metres.
There it is. So
that's
they
outstanding.
They became the first or the world's first Wi-Fi nation offering free Wi-Fi.
Not bad, mate. I actually like that. I do like that one. That's outstanding considering how important the internet is. Good work, mate. I like that.
Too easy. Next week, you're going to take us to Tokelau.
Oh, awesome. The beautiful islands of Tokelau.
Tokelau.
Okay, awesome. Can't wait for that one. I'll have some fun facts for you. But let's get over to the great man, King Kefu Totokefu.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu! Totokefu!
With Totokefu.
Yes, joining us every week to chat all things rugby union is a man that has won a World Cup. He's coached at World Cups. Won a Bledisloe Cup, Tri Nations Series, Lions Series. He's done it all, yet his greatest achievement is being here on Nijin Footy with us every Friday. Kef, how are you, mate?
Good morning, boys.
Good morning.
It's always great to see you, mate. We saw you on Monday twice in the 1 week on that Pacific Sports Show. talk us through how was that working with actual professionals and people who know what they're doing with Tiana and Sarah?
Absolute eye opener, mate. Just to watch professionals up close and get good habits from their behaviours. Unbelievable, mate. I took a notebook away of advice.
Sammy said you got a little bit nervous sitting on the couch.
Yes, I think I did get a lot nervous. Well, like I said, working amongst professionals and people have been at the top of their game, T, for so long.
As soon as those lights come on and it's just you and the other three, yeah.
Actually, I was
the deer in headlights at the end when I had to say goodbye. Hey,
You know how you look down the camera and you go, oh, look, see you, can't get there. Yeah. This guy's like, bye-bye.
And they kept it.
They did it again, but he's like, oh, got flustered. It was good. Obviously great to have you on. Had some good feedback. Even Sam Norton Knight, he was listening to Grandstand on Sunday. He heard us talking about yourself on there, about how you chose my cousin Patrick Pellegrini. We had him on the show and how that eventuated. He had a good laugh and he said it was good to hear all you boys, you know, having a bit of fun on there. So we got some fans out there, Kev. We got one, so that's perfect. Hey, let's move into some rugby union news. We have the Wallabies. The rugby championship is coming up. They're playing the Springboks up in Brisbane. Plenty of Pacifica talent. Isaac Ailea and Alan Alaalatoa in the front row. How important is that part of the game coming up against the Springboks, who have been dominant in that part of the game?
Yeah, look, really tough challenge for them. I actually went out and watched them train yesterday morning. And, you know, Alan's been the third captain this year so far. Look, you just have to, you know, for all Wallaby supporters, you're going to have to realise and understand, like, where the Wallaby team is at the moment in terms of its development. We've got a new coach. He's still trying to sort out combinations and selections and still how are we going to play this game. Completely different to where Springboks are, you know, in their journey. I suppose, you know, they're double world champions. This year, they're still keen on winning and playing well. But for us, you know, we're still trying to sort through some stuff. Interesting team that he picked yesterday. To be honest with you, there's a couple of players I didn't even know. the young flanker. Caught me by surprise, mate. I had to quickly Google him and see what club he played for.
Carlo Tozzano,
yeah, what is that?
He's a Perth boy, South African as well, and he's just your typical seven, mate. Just no screw loose. He's going to go hard.
I heard that about him, and I like him already. Rob Valentini at six. He's going to be always the first one picked in the back row. He's been enormous. Lou Kahn there at lock and Nick Frost. I think that's our best locking position. Good to see the centre pairing back. I think that's going to be the centre pairing moving forward, Lenny and Hunter.
Yep. Hey, Kev, as an international coach yourself, how do you prepare for someone like, you know, the Springboks, you know, World Cup champions? And, you know, do you create a theme for the Wallabies or do you just see what happens, put a team out there and see what happens and then learn from that next week?
Oh, look, I think, look, theming's important. But, look, the coaching group would have connected these boys together and the relationships would have grown over the last couple of months. Look, there's a purpose to this whole squad and to this whole team. And the purpose, the end goal might not be this year, it might be next year or the year after. I would say, you know, the end goal is probably the World Cup in 2 years' time. So, look, I think playing against the Springboks, it's one of the biggest challenges in the world. And there's some players here playing in front of their families for the first time. There's some new caps. Look, I think the mindset is the most important thing, T. You know, making sure that we've got the right attitude, not only to the game, but to preparation, to training, leading up to the game. Getting the right mindset for that. And look, we're playing the best team in the world. I don't think that's going to be a problem. I think the biggest issue here is, you know, executing the game plan, being accurate, being able to do what you want to do. The set piece is going to be massive here. That's the first battle So a massive challenge for the forward pack.
Yeah, I like that, what you said there too, just around prepping and asking, because it's in certain teams that we've been in, especially playing against South Africa, we always had that, I guess under John Mitchell, it was always heads on the plate, just talking about trying to cut the head off of their key players and hopefully the rest will fall. Do you think that's the case this time around? Because when you look at the test caps of the Springboks, they've got a 1,041 test caps amongst them. Australia have 528 caps amongst them, and it comes from two of those players, 206 with James Slipper and Alan Alatoa. Are they going after those players, or is it, as you said, just purely focused on only executing what we can control and focusing on the Wallabies, not the opposition?
Yeah, bloody good question, Wikesy and T. Look, I think in a stage of this Wallaby team, I think the focus has to be more on our performance. And obviously, I mentioned our mindset. Mindset, I don't think, will be a problem. We're playing the best team in the world. So the focus on us is being able to, obviously, you know, 10%, we probably have to look at what they're going to do and what they're going to come at us. But you know what? Springboks haven't changed their game plan for the last 50 years. So I'm pretty sure how they're going to play. They're going to be direct. They're going to kick for territory, and they're going to put a lot of pressure on you. I think the main focus for this team, and I heard Joe Schmidt talk about it in the press conference yesterday, is our performance, how we're going to execute. We need to be accurate. This is what we need to do. Make sure we cross our T's and dot our I's.
We do you think as well, the scrum laws, just the change of going to 60-second scrums, is that going to change anything about the Springboks set piece and their dominance?
Bloody oath. Bloody, the Springboks, and Rassie was a part of it the last 3 to 5 years, they are experts slowing the bloody game down. Have you seen the boot change during Springbok test matches? Have you seen?
No.
So that's, mate, I'll tell you, this is an actual ploy. They'll leave some boots on the sideline so that props can change their boots during the game, so they can slow the bloody game down. And mate, there's forever props going down. If there's any momentum from the other team, it's like NBA. Like, you know, when NBA gets a bit of a roll on, you know, one team scores 10 points, 12 points, the opposition referee, what's he do? Opposition coach.
Call the timeout.
Timeout, stop, bang. So same thing happens, Rassie. If the other team gets a bit of a roll on, mate, they'll just tell a prop to get, there's a secret call, prop go down, get injured, slowly stop the game. Yeah. So, bloody oath, I think it's a great move for the officials to bring that in.
It's a veteran technique, that one.
It is. I remember, like, untying my shoelaces during the game to wind down the clock at scrum time. And I saw my shoelaces undone. The Kit Kat call, just have a break, have a Kit Kat.
Is that what they're trying to do? Quicken up the union game.
Yeah, law changes have come out. So scrum was a big one. You've got 60 seconds to set the scrum.
What was it before?
I don't think there was a time limit. Like,
there wasn't a time.
There wasn't a lot of time. The ref was just like, hurry up.
Hurried them up.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to hurt a lot of those teams that have bigger men. You know, take their time to get to the scrum. We've seen in rugby league, and in rugby league now, they've kind of flushed out all the big boppers. There's not many of them left because the game is so quick.
Yeah, I love that about league, where you can hear that in the background, but the play keeps going.
Yeah, the six again call, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I really do like that. It does speed up the game. My only concern with scrum time, obviously there's some safety aspects to it. Just hopefully they can get their set up and, you know, all that right first,
and not rush,
but it does put emphasis on, you know, well, you just got to get fitter and move on with the game. So we'll see what happens there. With everything you've seen, Kev, in the last three test matches for both teams, you know, well, if you're preparing, you know, the Wallabies, like, where are you targeting? What's your game plan? Are you doing the same thing the last three test matches, or is there a bit of a different game plan?
Look, I think when you're playing the Springboks, you got to look at what they're really good at and what they live off. We got to match them in the set piece, like I mentioned. That's number one. And they maul a lot, and they score a lot of tries off their line out. So disrupting their line out is a great place to start. And I'm pretty sure they've got some moves to counter that. I think winning territory is bloody important as well. Keep the team down the other end. Don't bring them into your own half. You know, there's two simple things that that you can do. Doing what we just talked about, speeding the game up. You know, maybe kicking the ball and keeping it in, making them play. So just little things like that, I think, will help.
Well, as a rugby union expert, I would suggest, you know,
are you talking about Kef for yourself?
Just move the ball, get the big South Africans moving, fatigued, and move that ball. Kick long in the corners and build pressure.
Mate, it's a simple game, mate. See, you're not far off the money, mate. It is a simple game, and I think they will be doing some of that, trying to get away from their big boppers. Hey, in other news, Kef, the Manu Samoa just came out, and we spoke earlier in the show just around, you know, the financial difficulties. There could be a potential they might be pulling out of the Northern Hemisphere tour because there's fears of Samoa going bankrupt. You know, have you got much around this and what's happening there?
Yeah, I reached out to a good friend of mine, their ex-coach, Mapasua, and just messaged him about what was going on. And everything he told me was exactly what's happening what they portrayed in the media. You know, just massive debt. And it seems like that the money that they have got, they're reluctant to spend it just on their European tour. I mean, you look at the European tour, it's just I think they had games against, well, there's I think the stage two of the PNC, which is Georgia, USA, and I think it's Romania. So they were looking at skipping that. Look, from a world rugby point of view, you don't want that to happen. It's a bad look for the game. So, look, I think common sense will prevail, and hopefully World Rugby can come out and help them. You know, there's the CEO, who is the ex-prime minister, I think it's Tui Leipa. There's always been issues around him in terms of, let's just say, governance issues. Governance issues. So he's copying an absolute pasting in the socials. On Ireland through media. So, and that's been happening for the last 10 years. You know, I think if common sense prevails, they probably should look to shift him and just start with a new group that could take the union. But the team's been performing well in the lead-up games to the PNC. So I think maybe looking at that as a possible, solution.
Well, hopefully, there's no real downfall from this, and they do get on those tours because it's an amazing experience. And as you said, they've been playing some good footy, Samoa. So hopefully it doesn't impact their preparations, firstly, for Pacific Nations Cup, and hopefully more test matches in November for that spring tour. Let's go Pacific Nations Cup quickly. It's around the corner, 23rd of August, and Fiji, they've got their group together. The last 2 weeks, how do you think they're tracking for that PNC championship?
Look, they've got a host of players to choose from, and they've had a pretty good lead up and preparation into the PNC. They still haven't tapped a lot of their good players on the shoulder yet, so I'm not too sure whether they'll play or take part in the PNC. I'm talking about players like Botia, Tuisova, Matavesi, the hooker from Northampton. So they haven't even been involved yet. So, look, I think if you're trying to pick a winner now, you would have to give Fiji the favouritism tag, and then followed by Samoa and then Tonga third. Big challenge for Tonga. We've spoken about this. It's just truly dependent on the type of players they can get in through the door. If they turn up with the same players they had in those local tests in Tonga, I don't think it'll be good enough.
Yeah, you're not wrong, mates. Hopefully they do perform well and they compete hard in the Pacific Nations Cup. I'm looking forward to it in a couple of weeks' time. When's the 23rd of August? It is a couple of weeks, yeah?
End of this month.
A couple of weeks, mate.
A couple of weeks. There we go. We have it. Let's get around our Pacific Island brothers as they compete in that tournament. Hopefully the Wallabies get up this weekend against the Springboks, and it's going to be happy days here in Australia. Kev, anything else before we go?
No, just the other game, the All Blacks versus Argentina.
How could I forget?
Come on, man.
How could I forget?
The skipper, the captain,
yes,
the man of the moment.
Artie Sarvia takes over, doesn't he?
Big Artie.
I forgot about that. Who's your pick here?
Artie. Well, New Zealand, I think, will win. But Artie, hey, he's poor old Scotty Barrett's injured for the next couple of weeks. I loved seeing Artie captain the All Blacks. I don't know why. I'd rather him captain the team. Watch out for big Wallace Setiti coming off the bench. He was awesome against Fiji over in America. This kid's got a big future, I reckon.
Did you play against his dad?
Yes, I did. Great guy. We played in a World 15 game together. We were raising funds for Tsunami. I think we would have been in the Barbarians team against the World 15s. I started at number 8. All right, and I come off, and the game was pretty close, and I come off just after halftime. He's gone on at number 8, scored 3 tries.
Oh, you just set it up for him, mate. You just peppered him.
That's what I said.
Exactly. Oh, mate, I love watching him play for Manu Samoa. He just looked like a specimen of a man, and he's obviously passed the genes down to his son, so I'm sure he's going to do some damage against the Argentinians. What do you reckon the All Blacks are going to win by?
Yeah, look, I don't know much about the Argentinians, and there's always a big question mark around those, but you know what? I think this All Black team that with Razor taking over, I think they're going to be something special. They just seem, there's a little bit of an aura going to be built around this team. Look, I think the All Blacks will win, you know, maybe by 10, 15 points.
Nice. And sorry, what predictions for the Wallabies? What's the score for that one?
Jeez. Oh, my heart. I think the Springboks will be too good. But I think it'll be a lot closer than what people think.
Awesome. Absolutely love it. Well, Kev, as always, we appreciate your expertise in the game of rugby union, and we look forward to talking to you again next week. Cheers, brother.
Thank you, boys. Keep up the good work.
Shh. Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to call him Professor Paulo.
Has he lost the title after last week,
mate, that was amateurish. Come on, brother.
You're a hard man, T. You're quick.
One job.
Okay.
Come on. So last week, to give all our new listeners
some context here, the
Professor Paulo each Nijin Footy Fridays gives us a question, and we answer that question. If we get it right, we get a score. We get a point on the scoreboard. The loser at the end of the season has to buy a fancy lunch. Now, last week, Professor Paulo asked the question
of Hopewate.
How many Hopewate family members
have played NRL? And he missed out on Lehi
from the Manly Seagulls,
who's killing it at the moment. So he forgot.
And you would have got it right, but the professor got the answer wrong. So the score is, I think the score is wrong. I think I'm only 0.5 behind.
Yeah, you are only. So
9.5 plays 10.
Yep.
And yeah, let's go and rip into the next question.
NRLW ties. My mistake for last week, boys. You're right, it was 6. But this week, the male plays international for New Zealand and the sister plays State of Origin for Queensland. They are both of Cook Island heritage.
Jordan Rapana and Tasman Rapana. Or Tasman Grey. No, Tasman Rapana. Yeah.
Well, Auntie, I was going to go until he threw me off with Origin. I thought Williams and Sonny when it came to the Samoans. But there we go. T.
Easy dub.
Easy I'll dub the there. Oh, you take the lead. 10.5 plays 10.
Jeez, where am I going to take you? Where are we going for lunch?
Oh, no, I've got a cracking joint for us. Do you like steak?
No, I'll pick.
No, but this steak is, mate, she's a fancy one.
Is it?
Yeah, it's one of those ones where like it's like underground and you got to lock your phone up in a box.
Oh, beauty.
Yeah, it's one of those ones, but we're not going there. It's too expensive.
I was thinking more of this Sydney Sky Tower, that rotating restaurant up the top. Why are you looking at me like that?
Bro, that's we're not going there. Anyway, let's go over to our knockout tipping comp where I'm absolutely killing it.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, our knockout tipping comp where we pick one team each week from rugby league and rugby union and NRLW. The score is T32. And I'm on a lousy 25. Last week actually did okay, though. I went Titans, NRL, and NRLW. Got the 2 points there. T, you finally got one wrong. You got the Storm.
Mate.
Down in Melbourne against
the Dragons.
The Dragons. You wouldn't read about it.
No one's seen that one coming. I think it was 18-16 to the Dragons.
That would have ruined plenty of tipping comps, that one. But we move forward. We truck forward. Are we doing rugby union this week or are we going to wait for Pacific Nations Cup?
I reckon we go to keep the NRL. So NRL, NRLW.
Yeah, okay. And then we'll wait for Pacific Nations Cup in a couple of weeks and we'll do the triple there. So, yep. Okay, let's go. Who are you going this week?
So in the NRL, I've had a look at all the games, and the Penrith Panthers just seem to be finding some form at the end of the season. They just seem to find that right time where all the players are humming. I think they were the only team last month to win every game, and they are going up against a struggling Parramatta Eels team who maybe having some internal issues from outside sources. The media speaking about a few players moving on, and I just think that the Panthers will be too strong for them this weekend.
Okay, so you're going the Panthers in the NRL, NRLW. Who are you going?
The NRLW. I am going to go the Raiders, who are taking on the Sharks. So I'm going against Tiana Penitani.
Really
playing fullback. I just think that they looked good against Newcastle Knights. Newcastle Knights being back-to-back championships, and they just lost that one. I think they'll want to have a good response to that game and get the job done against Sharks, who are now 2-0. I know it's a big game, but
okay, Raiders, so you're going Raiders. Well, I'll start with NRLW. I'm going to go against you. I'm actually going to choose the Sharks. I think Tiana at fullback, I rate that. I just rate her with time and space with the ball. I think she's going to do some damage back there. And in the rugby league, you keep calling me Drake with my tipping. And why is that? What does Drake, the singer, what happens when he...
Every team he supports, they seem to lose.
Okay.
They don't win the competition. And every team that you have picked have lost.
Yep, that's okay.
Recently.
Recently. Well, more often than not. Well, I'm going to go, if that is actually true, I'm going to go to your old formula of going against the Tigers, choosing the team that plays against the Tigers. So I'm going the Knights at home against the Tigers. And if the Knights lose, I'll accept I am the curse. I have the Drake curse for rugby league teams.
Well, I went away from that method because the way I seen Jareem Buller play last week, if he plays like that against the Knights and they play with that... They were down a man, and they were still finding ways to score tries. But they played without that pressure, you know, that expectation, and then they stick to the structure.
Stop it, T. Don't.
They've got nothing to lose, so they start throwing the ball offload. We've seen Ruben Porter late offload try for 2 try assists. If they just take that into this game, play with no pressure, no expectation.
So you're saying I should go for the Tigers then?
No, you've already gone the Knights. So
all right,
that's why I went against the Knights, and I went with the Panthers this week.
All right.
That's everything done.
All right, I'm going the Knights then, and that's our time up for another Nesian Footy Friday episode. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday show and Friday shows. Just search Nesian Footy wherever you get your podcast, T.
Ka kite, and who you got next week? You got
Will Hopuate on Monday. Looking forward to that one.
All the best.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.